Hang on a moment. Coming.
Shalom, everyone. Shabbat shalom for those of you keeping the Sabbath and listening to this on YahvehYahweh.name. Today we'll have a sermon. I'm Stefan Yah, and seated here in the living room in the great Northwest United States, we're going to be reading the word, Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah. And it says, if I can get enough light here, thus saith Yahweh of hosts in verse 16, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of Yahweh. Let's go back to verse 11 for a moment. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found them wickedness, saith Yahweh. Then back, pick it up there where we left off. Verse 17, they say still unto them that despise me, Yahweh has said, you shall have peace. That sounds like our present president. You shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh? So that was end of quote there. No peace, or rather, no evil shall come upon you. Verse 18. Now, for who has stood in the counsel of Yahweh and has perceived and heard the word? Who has marked the word and heard it? Well, we've heard the word in every church in America. We hear them reading some of the word anyway. Sometimes we hear more in some assemblies than we do in other assemblies, so that's good. Having been in Sabbath assemblies recently here in the year 2011, I'm disappointed as there's an emphasis on not reading the word. They just want to water things down just more and more, just as much as they can. Just water down the word. Do not read the word very much. In fact, at one Sabbath service on the Sabbath day at the Oregon Convention Center, one of the ministers bragged, oh, I'm so glad. They said, praise God that we have not read that many scripture verses today. That we have not put a guilt trip, you know, like the Berkeley expression, we have not put a guilt trip on others by reading too much scripture today and a heavy burden on you. So that was a day of just sharing, you know, wonderful sharing about how wonderful their ministry was in Thailand. Yeah, it was proclaiming themselves, you know, giving esteem to themselves instead of giving esteem to Yahweh. They were glorying in their own works, their own efforts, and they weren't really getting anywhere if you don't read the word. So I don't want to be guilty of the same thing, although I'm sure I am. I this is not, thus saith Yahweh, everything that I say is, to be scrutinized by the word of Yahweh. And I'm not the final word, even though my preacher, that I, the guy I call the preacher, who lives about 40 miles away from here in Springfield, I was playing the Bill Houston program for him, or at least showing him the option on our website of Bill Houston there. And he said, I'm just as good as he is. I can preach just as well as he can. Now, there was a boast there. But praise Yahweh that the man does have some good qualities. But humility is it's a missing ingredient sometimes. Pride goeth before destruction in the fall. You know, Acts 4:12. As we talk about our heavenly Savior now, and not point our fingers at other people. Oh no, that we should not stand around and mention others' faults, should we? Oh, that's how negative can we be? That's facetious there. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Also in 22:16. So Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So we must be saved by Yahweh and by his son, Yahusha, HaMashiach. We go to John chapter 8, verse 51. It says that you shall never see death. Back to John now, chapter 8, 51. And we'll get a title for this message as we go in here. It's going to be a convicting message, hopefully. Once again, it's not the final word. If I say something is dogmatic, you first need to check it out by the word of Yahweh. We don't just take our word for it, or somebody else's word, or Billy Graham, or Rajneesh Purim, or Baraco. John 8:51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Messiah is speaking here, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So there's one of the many promises in the word, we'll never see death. As we keep Yahweh's saying, not just one little saying, but we keep them all. How difficult is that? To keep them all, it's not hard at all. Somebody said, well, there's 613 commandments, statutes, and judgments. I only counted 212, and then they repeated after that. But I guess if you included Genesis to Revelation, you'd get 1,000 commandments. But they never change. It's easy once you learn them, and most of us already have that what they call common sense. Common sense came from the Word, hopefully, if it's real common sense. John 8:51, you'll never see death if we stay in Yahweh's Word. Read it all. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Matthew 4:4, we are to live by, not by bread alone. Of course, we need bread, but to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Every unleavened word, every pure word. We're going to John 3:36 now, talking about our salvation. So that's what this is all about, is Yahweh maintains our salvation. And, I'm in Matthew there. I need to sneak over to John, and not Matthew for the moment, at the very end. The book of John there. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. So we must believe on Yahusha the Son. It's everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him. The reason I chose that verse there out of John 3:36, or Yochanan 3:36, is that many, many people, even Sabbath keepers, some places are saying that we don't need Yahusha necessarily. I had a Sabbath keeper from a worldwide Sunday-keeping sect, and John there told me that it doesn't matter what religion you are from. You're still going to heaven, and then later they'll tell you the good news. And that's found in Acts chapter, 18 or something or another, about to every nation, those who do righteous works will be saved, another to paraphrase. But he was, I know that's off the track, but he was saying that it doesn't matter, what religion you follow. You could be a Hindu. Well, how about that Hindu stuff, huh? I do want to make a sidetrack. I was going to do this later, but I better do it now. From the Berean Call out of Bend, Oregon, April 2009, or fourth month 2009, Paul McCartney, or who's now Sir Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr will reunite on stage. That's 3/4/2009. Will reunite on stage next month to raise money to teach transcendental meditation to children around the world to help. Well, why do they want to do that? I mean, TM, that's from the Maharishi Yogi. But to help provide them a quiet haven in a not-so-quiet world. Well, those are good motives, but just like everything else these days, government and religion and so on, the end justifies the means. I mean, that's a lofty goal, to provide peace to everybody, a quiet haven. I could do for a little more peace and quiet, couldn't you? But the end justifies the means there, doesn't it? It's okay. In other words, the communistic manifesto that just says that as long as it's for the greater good, then we can go ahead and do whatever it takes to get the job done, even if you have to step on a few heads or you know, murder a few or whatever it might be, stab somebody in the back. It's okay as long as the greater good is in mind there. And I'm sure that not everybody who is into communism or, you know, into the TM has that exact philosophy. They don't quite go that far, maybe, but, you know, they're supporting it. I got to switch on a light. Why would Paul McCartney teach TM? He's been, all of his life, he's been pushing that. Singer-songwriter Donovan and musician Paul Horn, who studied at the Maharishi's Ashram with the Beatles Four, will also perform in the show. Donovan said, "How great to be playing with Paul Ringo and Paul Horn again, as we did in India in 1968. It's a reunion after 40 years, Donovan, Paul Horn, Ringo, and Paul McCartney. Is now Sir Paul, that's what people call him. It's quite an interesting thing that they're still talking about transcendental meditation," Mr. Donovan said. List of performers also include Sheryl Crow, Eddie Vedder, Ben Harper, Moby, Bette E. Levette, and Jim James. And then a comment here from the Brian Call. Transcendental meditation was originally named the Spiritual Regeneration Movement by Maharishi Yogi, who changed it to transcendental meditation when it was barred from schools for what it is, Hinduism. Furthermore, the words of the Messiah need to be heeded in Matthew 18. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned into the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that woman or man," to paraphrase it, "but woe to that person by whom the offense cometh." Remember that, Matthew 18:6-7. Some people don't take heed to that, but, you know, we push all kinds of crazy things in this world. Paul talked about the million at-risk children. Yes, they certainly are at risk when they go to a concert like that, to have it foisted upon them to learn TM. But that's just, you know, that's innocent compared to the stuff that is being foisted upon the children these days in our schools. For example, the dogma of evolution, New Age doctrines, not to say that TM isn't, TM is New Age, but, you know, just all kinds of weird, weird stuff is being taught these days. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Messiah and on his word to continue and to know and do Yahweh's word. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son," that's the Messiah, the Son, "shall not see life, but the wrath of Yahweh abideth on him." Now, if there's be any doubters somewhere listening around the world who are saying, "But they just quoted some line I heard some philosopher say 500 or 1,000 years before that." Well, you just keep on doubting everything about Yahweh's word, but believe everybody else out there. Believe all the doubters and devotees and weirdos out there. Let's put our faith in that instead of putting our faith in the word that tells us to have proper behavior, to refrain from adultery and fornication, to repent of our deeds like that, of idolatry, of Sabbath breaking, feast day breaking, not keeping Yahweh's covenant. That's what it all boils down to, is that we're not loving Yahweh with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're not, in general, keeping the two great commandments. The two great commandments, love Yahweh. The second is like unto the first, to love our neighbor as ourself. How can we be loving our neighbor if, according to Matthew 18, we're going out there and teaching people something that detracts from Yahweh, puts the focus on ourself, makes ourself an idol or a god or an Elohim? You know, that's just not, that's not right to have idolatry. You know, you can call me a legalist all you want. That's, I know I'm right about that, that TM, you know, and its innocent forms out there. There's all kinds of, what is that movement my sister is into there? New Age, but what's the thing that she teaches? The she's always pushing this Tai Chi. You know, it may seem innocent. You know, I mean, the physical actions that they're doing, there's nothing wrong with that I know of per se. But you know, is there some spiritual thing involved? And if there is, if we're making ourselves into a god, or you know, wanting to be someday worshipped, or thinking that we're in any way, if there's an idolatry involved, or worshiping some other person or statue, or something in our life, if we have our eyes and an intent on anything else in this world, then you know, if we're putting them before Yahweh, then that's idolatry. Whether it's stone or something more subliminal, something, even a thought can be idolatry. Matthew 12:34. So Yahweh's going to hold us responsible for those words. He'll hold Paul McCartney. Sir Paul McCartney? Well, he certainly had some, beautiful sounding music, but I suspect that in that music that there is a New Age media there somewhere, that there is a thread of sinful intent there somewhere, or that it might cause us to kind of think on things like we shouldn't. We should, you know, it's more of a feel-good thing. As much as the whole world seemed to enjoy listening to McCartney and the Beatles and so on. Well, anyway, now I've got most of the crowd against me here. Everybody's here. I'm speaking against Sir Paul McCartney, but that's what it was. Oh, by the way, look at BereanCall.org for that issue. Go back to in their archives to 4/2009 for the that article there. It's there's lots of information. And by the way, this disclaimer applies to the Berean Call as well as any other ministry, that first of all, we have to compare it with the Word of Yahweh. They're using pagan names in there and stuff, you know, so I probably don't have to say. Matthew 12:34 says, and thank you, Penny, for that word. My wife is recovering from cancer, thanks to Yahweh, his healing power. The natural, automatic, natural power that he puts within us, first of all. I'm sure he's doing something. And put us on a good, healthy diet, too, a good, healthy plan there, so we don't need all the chemo and the burning and the cutting and the gamma knife and the radiation. Matthew 12:34, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The Messiah is speaking here. It's even in red, although everything from Genesis to Revelation ought to be in red, because that's Messiah's word. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So we'll all have to be accountable to Yahweh in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's in Matthew chapter 12. And many other places, as we're going to show here, to quickly go along on this Yahweh Yahweh broadcast about our salvation. But, you know, every idle word. So what if I encourage a child, a young girl, to go to 4-H and hear some of the New Age things that 4-H is teaching, or even the Campfire Girls or Girl Scouts, or they're, you know, teaching them that, hey, maybe you're a boy instead of a girl. Well, we could get off and make all kinds of puns about that, you know. We're not going to do that today. Enough jesting. We can make enough jokes about that silly stuff there, but and we'll look back years from now and say, man, were we ever out of it? We are crazy. We talk about the people in the 60s being into the revolution, bra burning, burning the flag, and universities, they burned the university and so on. The sexual revolution back there in the late 1960s. John 3:15, by the way, as you know, says, something I forgot to read there when we were in John. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the verse before that says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So does that mean we're not going to be judged at all for our words and actions? No, we just read to the contrary, and we'll read many more to the contrary, that we will be judged for our words. But here it's Messiah almost seems to contradict, and he isn't. He is not contradicting. Anyway, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But if you're believing on him in the first place, well, you're not going to be condemned because you're not going to go out and say the wrong words and do the wrong things. Oh, we'll stumble. We'll do some silly things, some sinful things without even knowing it. And then we'll find out that was wrong and we'll change our manner. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And the entire chapter there is wonderful to read. How about verse 29? He that has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You want your joy to be fulfilled. Read the word of Yahweh. Next verse, about repentance, there in Matthew chapter 12 again. Let me see if I got this all here. We did Matt 12:34, correct? Let's see. Boy, the light is terrible in here. Okay, we did 12:34. Moving on now to Matthew 16:24, and then we'll go to Malachi and Hosea and those so-called minor prophets. So it's Matthew 16:24, or also Matthew 25:32. Yahweh is talking about the sheep and the goats. So there is a distinction there, and there's going to be a judgment on each and every one of us. You know, you say, well, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. But we are still accountable to Yahweh. So, you know that. It goes without saying, but we got to say it over and over. Because there's so many people preaching to the contrary. Matthew 16:24, then, through 27. As I now turn to it. In the Word, 16:24. Thank you for listening today. Then said Messiah unto his emissaries, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses, 26. That's 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the esteem of his Father with his messengers, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So there we are. You know, we're going to be judged about rewards too, but as well as every idle word and every action as well. So what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Contrary to the communistic doctrine of that the end justifies the means, it doesn't matter what we do to make something go and make it right. They think that it doesn't matter necessarily if you do wrong, as long as right will come out of it, something good. you know, and we complain about the government or, I don't know, some hypothetical situation is, oh, that's terrible, you know. But then somebody will say, but what's the good, you know, good always comes out of it. It always works out for the best. Well, it doesn't always work out for the best, you know, not in this life it won't. And not all things always work out for the best for a lot of people. I don't think they'll work too well for Brother Adolf over there in the 1940s who murdered all of those Jewish people, those thousands and I suppose millions. I wasn't there, but our fathers were there in Germany, and they saw, and there are still pictures, and it's been authenticated, but people will still go around and try to say, oh, it never happened. Yeah. Matthew 16:24 through 27, then, is what we read. For the Son of Man shall come in the esteem of his Father with his messengers, and he shall reward every man according to his works. What are the works? The works are doing Yahweh's word, like obeying him, like keeping the 10 mitzvot, or the 2 mitzvot, love Yahweh and love our neighbor, which is the summary of the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments in Exodus 20, and also in Deuteronomy 5 and other places. That's a summary of the commandments, statutes, and judgments. Or rather, of the statutes and judgments. And judgments are privileges. And that includes the feast days. So if we do good works and we go to the feast, we can't say, Yahweh, now you owe me something because I went to the feast day, or because I tithe, or because I sang, or because I talked to my neighbor about Messiah. Now you owe me eternal life, salvation, because I did something for you, now you got to do it for me. No, that's very presumptuous. So we'll move on then. I don't know what other comment I could make here. I suppose someone else out there could. Malachi, you could. This is one of the few websites. It's for free on YahvahYahweh.name, and it has a guest book place, a place where you can actually make a comment and might even contradict what I say, even though I can screen it. But Malachi 2:5, anyway, works really good in the, let's see, there it is, in this other version I have down here. I'm not even going to mention, but it's not the NIV, and it's not the reverse version. Let's see, Malachi. Yeah, they didn't cut it out, and here it is in this book. Oh, I love that. That should be the last chapter before Matthew. And I'm reading it out of here because it's more beautiful and poetic in the Living Letters. That somewhere, this was given to me when I was teaching confraternity for Christian doctrine before I was saved there. And what are they giving me the scriptures for? We've already got our own books, Catholicism, you know, all great teachings. We don't need those Protestant Bibles. Little did I know that first my wife got saved by Messiah, and then 2 years later, or anyway, later I did, a couple of years later. Where is that now? 2:5. Excuse me a minute. The purpose of these laws was to give him life and peace, to be a means of showing his respect and awe for me by keeping them. He passed on to the people all the truth he got from me. So that's starting out in Malachi 2:1. Listen, you priests, to this warning from Yahweh of hosts. If you don't change your ways and give esteem to my name, then I'll send terrible punishment upon you. And instead of giving you blessings as I'd like to, I will turn as you with curses. Indeed, I have cursed you already because you haven't taken seriously the things that are most important to me. Take note that I will rebuke your children, and I will spread on. And then verse 5, the purpose of these laws. Oh, wait a minute, to make the sense here. And I sent you this warning to return to the laws I gave your father, Levi, or Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. The purpose of these laws was to give him life and peace, to be a means of showing him respect and awe for me. By keeping them, he passed on to the people all the truth he got from me. He did not lie or cheat. He walked with me, living a good and righteous life, and turned many from their lives of sins. Malachi. Oh, that's a powerful book. We need to be reading these books more. if you've never read Malachi or any of the so-called minor prophets that occur after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, oh, you need to really read them and really devour those books. So I think we're going to probably go to Hosea next. Let's see. Hosea 4:6. Okay, that looks good. So, hopefully, I'm going to my King James now for that. Shouldn't be that hard. Giant print. Let's see. So sign that guest book, if you would. Don't leave any personal information, because the whole world can see what you write there. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What kind of knowledge? In this age, we have such a proliferation of information. How could we have a lack of knowledge? Well, he means the Yahweh's word. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, or Yahweh's word, his commandments, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, saith Yahweh. Thou, seeing that thou hast forgotten the Torah, forgotten the law of Yahweh, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Into shame. Hosea chapter 4 there. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I always heard that in Protestant churches, but they neglected to read the last part, that seeing that thou hast forgotten the Torah, or the law, it says there in the King James, of G-O-D, which we don't use that term, that title, in any way. So moving after that to 2 Corinthians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. And there I've already given you the quote, but I can turn there for you if you like. And then then after that it's Acts 10, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all... So how about if we're saved? What if I'm a saved person? Do I have to appear before the judgment seat, or can I go to the beach on, not necessarily the judgment day, but when my judgment comes? We're not talking about we're not talking about the great white throne judgment here. Okay, but still I'm going to be judged. Because it says we must... So I'm not going to the beach when Yahusha, the Messiah, judges me. We must all, even Stephan Yah, that includes him, that includes me, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Yahusha. It says in the King James, Christ, which is Christos, pagan god or goddess, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So every one of us will receive the things which we've done in our body according to what we've done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of Yahweh, knowing the fear of Yahweh, which is good. It's okay. It's good to fear Yahweh, because it's the beginning of knowledge. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto Yahweh, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again, and so on. Good. That was Paul's letter there, 2 Corinthians. We all appear before the judgment seat. You could read that in Living Letters, too. That'd be pretty good. Acts 10:34. And there's a lot of compromise in other versions, but at least in the earlier Living Letters that they didn't take away from the emphasis on the Torah. They didn't try to water it down like today's modern versions. I think the Living Bible, even today, now waters down the word. So 10:34 of Acts says, and I thank you for listening, then Kepha opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. We work righteousness by doing Yahweh's mitzvah, his commandments. Do those good deeds, like righteousness and judgment, and trusting in Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh for your salvation. We can't get to heaven by our own works. But it's possible to praise Yahweh and to not, to do it in vain. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. Anybody have a comment there? Put it up on the guest book or send an email by pushing the... If the email button doesn't work on your Windows 7 type platform in your computer, then the email is stephanyah@yahweh.name. Romans 10, 3. And then we'll go to chapter 13. 10, 3. For they, being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. So that reminds me of where Yahweh said, by the way you treat others, you'll be judged. But Messiah was not saying that you can establish your own standard, your own righteousness. Nor are we to walk in our own righteousness, but it's Yahweh working in us, and our righteousness does not save us. It's only by the Messiah's blood, the power in his blood, when he shed his blood on the tree at Calvary. For being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of Yahweh. Also see 9:32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. How do we attain to the law of righteousness? Because we need to seek righteousness by faith, that is, by believing in the Word. But they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, rock being symbolic of Messiah. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So back to chapter 10, down to the next verse there. Chapter 10, verse 4, For Yahusha is the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Most of your versions say Yahweh is the end of the law, but you look up that word, that Greek word, which is, it means aim or goal. But if you apply it to every other place in the scriptures, that word end usually means aim or goal. It doesn't mean the completion and the finality and the dissolving and the doing away of. Yahweh is the end or goal of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So we keep the law because of Yahweh, because we love him. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Well, I guess we better live by them. We don't want to go out and commit adultery or some crazy thing. But the righteousness which is by faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thy heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? And who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Messiah again from the dead. Yeah, we don't want to pour our filthy acts on Yahweh's offering for us when Yahweh died for us 2,000 years ago on the tree at Calvary. Then, then we go back first to Romans 4, then we'll go to chapter 10. 4:4, talking about the works of the law here. And we're 30 minutes into this broadcast. Oh, we're probably going to go another to make it a full hour. Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of favor, but of debt. Keeping my eye here on things. Verse 5, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that makes right the ungodly or un-Yahweh-like person, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom Yahweh imputes righteousness without works. Yahweh imputes righteousness. So I'm not going to go into great depth to explain that passage there. I probably could, but Yahweh doesn't owe me anything for the things I've done. He certainly doesn't have to forgive my sins by the things I've done? No, that would be a false concept. But only by his offering on the tree at Calvary, by the blood that Messiah, Yahusha, shed for me on the tree at Calvary, can my sins be washed away. And by his resurrection power, only by his resurrection power, that when he rose from the grave 3 nights and 3 days, Matthew 12:40, in the book of Matthew, there, only by that, by his resurrection power, can I be raised from the grave. Also see Hosea 13:14 about the grave, that he promises throughout the word to give us eternal life if we love him. So we're now up to Romans 13:11. Let's just read all the way through the chapter here. Pretty much 13:11. Love works no ill to his neighbor. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So we're even closer now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Don't go hanging out at the bar. What do you play? Those places where the Native Americans have these great what do you call that? Where they go to these resorts. Oh, well, don't go to one of those anyway. And rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but in strife, not in strife and envying, but put you on Yahusha, the Messiah, and make not the provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Well, that should say it all right there. I mean, that's all we need is one verse of Scripture. If somebody says all we need is one verse of Scripture, that would be it, if they took it literally. Put on the Messiah and make provision not for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So it even comes out in the way you vote for a certain politician. Does that politician make an allowance for lasciviousness, adultery, fornication? Does that candidate abort children? Is that what his platform includes? Yeah. So much for politicians. You know, they could have brought in Chuck Baldwin. Maybe he didn't know everything about international politics, but he could have farmed that out, huh? But hardly anybody voted for Chuck. Yeah, because they were concerned about the price of the pump and cost of ammunition. 14:23 of Romans, about our faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in the word of Yahweh. For taking his word at face value. And it says there, it is good neither, in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby the brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Have you faith? Have it to yourself before Yahweh. Joyful is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Is that what I wanted? Okay, there it is. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So faith being believing in the word and all the words of Yahweh, if we're not believing in the word, then whatsoever is not of faith, then that's sin. It's not of faith, it's not of Yahweh's word. So, what's this? Don't let others confuse you with the facts of Scripture, with the truth. Yeah, don't confuse me with Scripture, right? That's the popular thing today, is not very much Scripture. Don't lay it on too thick, Brother Eber, because you're going to drive people away. We need some anecdotes. We need some funny things. You know, it's okay, a little humor, maybe. So we did Malachi already. Is that correct? I think we did. Oh, this is getting worse now. As far as the vision goes, okay, we did Malachi 2:5, but we need to repent of. And Malachi 2:13 in the Living Letters, it says. Yeah, okay. That's easy. It's right here then. This is a forbidden subject these days. I'll read a little bit of this. Yet you cover the altar with your tears because Yahweh doesn't pay attention to your offerings anymore and you receive no blessing from Him. Why has Yahweh abandoned us? You cry. I'll tell you why. It is because Yahweh has seen your treachery in divorcing your wives, who have been faithful to you through the years, the companions you promised to care for and keep. You were united to your wife by Yahweh. In Yahweh's wise plan, when you married, the two of you, not the three or the ten, the two of you become one person in His sight. And what does He want? Goodly children from your union. Therefore, guard your passions. Keep faith with the wife of your youth. For Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, says He hates divorce and cruel men. But yet in the Protestant churches, and 95% of the Protestant churches and Catholic and most of the churches these days and in the last years have permitted and preached that it's okay. So, even if it is okay, where would be the limit? After the second or the third divorce and remarriage? Would it be how about the 10th or the 12th, Elizabeth Taylor? And, that would condone what they did. I think it was 12 divorces and remarriages. And then Elizabeth kicked the bucket recently. Therefore, control your passions and let there be no divorcing of your wives. You have wearied Yahweh with your words. Wearied Him, you ask, in false surprise. How have we wearied Him? By saying that evil is good, that it pleases Yahweh. Well, yes, I've heard that from a different Chuck on the radio on Christian station, that it pleases Yahweh to disobey by not keeping the Sabbath or by eating the abomination. But back to the scripture reading, or by saying that Yahweh won't punish us. He doesn't care. He doesn't care, period. Yeah, because once saved, we're always saved. So that was found in Living Letters, but Malachi chapter 2, and it sounded a little bit different, but it means the same thing as the original Antioch Scrolls that the King James is based on. And it didn't take anything out there. It amplified it. There's also a scripture called the Amplified Version. There's the Restored Scriptures. That one is pretty good. That was Malachi. So how about that last great day? What's going to happen there when Yahweh comes to give us light? I didn't read everything about judgment, though. Well, why not? Let's go on. Let's talk about judgment first, because I said we were going to do this. Proverbs 24:12. Am I just jumping all over or what? Proverbs 24:12, then. And I've got to look that up. So while I'm doing that, looking for Proverbs, if I can wait a minute. Here it is. I won't do it. I'm going to read it. 24:12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, does he not know it? Shall not he render to every man according to thy works? Well, no, he won't render it to people who are once saved, always saved, will he? But no, it says every man according to his works. Solomon wrote that in the book of Proverbs. Then Ecclesiastes 12:14. As we turn to the right, is that correct? 12:14. I want to start at 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear Yahweh. So see, for those who say you're not supposed to fear Him, it says here to do it, that fearing Yahweh is good. Fear Yahweh and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. For Yahweh shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's that word judgment again. Yahweh shall bring every work into judgment. Every work except for mine, because I'm saved, and so He's not going to look at my works, is He? No, He's... And then, well, of course He will. And then, of course, they'll agree, well, if He does look at my works, then he'll, it's just a question of whether he gives me any rewards or not. He'll just take away rewards. That's the alibi these days from Christians. I've heard it over and over. And you probably have too, but anyway, that's, I've heard that. Haven't you? Well, okay then. We're not going to talk about that anymore, I guess. For Jeremiah 17:10. Oh, how about 9? How about 7? Blessed is the man that trusteth in Yahweh and whose hope Yahweh is. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Somebody argues, well, that's Old Testament only. In the New Testament, you just do your own thing, whatever feels good, and Yahweh will bless you. But they're wrong. I know they are, because I've read, you know, to the contrary in their New Testament. I can read it in a Catholic Bible, and it still says the same thing, pretty much anyway. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. We just had a expose here of a local government in our little town here, where they've been in control for 5-7 years, and it always keeps coming around when they get caught losing, this time $420,000, I think it is. $420,000 in a little town of 2,000 people. So now a lot of people have fled the scene. Leaders have fled. And, well, judgment happens sooner or later. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. Verse 13, O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. How I like that one, Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. 32:18 and 19. Talking more about judgment here. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Things that Yahweh told us to talk about. But yet people say, just talk about love. Well, we are, thank you. We are talking about love here. It says that love is keeping the commandments. In John, 1 John. Many other places, but it doesn't do any good really to convince them. Their minds are still made up, so I'll still extrapolate and proclaim the word, but they're not going to change. Their hearts are hard. But maybe they'll change. Maybe they'll change. 32:18 of Jeremiah. I hope that my comments aren't distracting to you. I haven't been trained by the professional seminaries, you know, and got my state license. Okay, here, be quiet now. Verse 19, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Mitzrayim, even unto this day, and in Yisrael, and among other men, and has made thee a name, as at this day. So that was Jeremiah. And just trying to find out where I'm at here again. Stefan, y'all lost somewhere in cyberspace here. Where did I go? Okay, there we go. I see. I'm picking it up now. So, a little exhortation now from John chapter 8. Yes, let's go to 8. 1 through, I think a 1 through everything there. John chapter 8. A little bit of a warm day here. In fact, okay, maybe sometime in a few minutes here, I'll go turn on the fan, and so I'll be away for about 10 seconds to help us get through the Sabbath study here on loving Yahweh, on salvation, and on sin, righteousness, and judgment. So it was John 8, 1. And this is during the feast of the last great day, found in Leviticus chapter 23. Found also in Deuteronomy and Numbers as well. And so here it is in the so-called New Testament. This is before Messiah died and rose from the grave. But Messiah went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. All the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Well, let me stop there for a second, because Yahweh gave that, or Yahusha the Messiah, actually, before he was the Messiah, Yahusha the son of Yahweh, gave that to Moses. In Exodus chapter 20, he spoke face to face with Moses. So Moses is not the one here who's giving the law. Yahweh gave it, or Yahusha gave it. Moses and the law commanded us. Well, okay, then the Messiah is standing there. He commanded us, because Yahweh is the word. Verse 6, this they say, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Messiah stooped down with his finger, wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. Now people speculate as to what he wrote there. But verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Did Yahweh say, go and sin some more? That we're all sinners, and so everybody's a sinner, so it's impossible to stop sinning, so just don't even worry about it. No, he didn't say that. So again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He could have been writing some names in there of the people who had multiple wives. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Messiah was left alone. Messiah, Yahusha, was left alone, and the woman was left standing there in the midst. When Messiah had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Yahweh. And Messiah said unto her, it says L-O-R-D here, that's why I substituted Yahweh, or transposed that in there. So there's no way to go back, because the Greek would say, what, Kurios or something? Right. But she said, No man, Yahusha. And Messiah said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and do what? Sin no more. He didn't say go and sin some more, but sin no more. And don't you feel convicted? Rather that we would be convicted and be more cautious and be on the side of caution, be on the right side with Yahweh, than take the word of somebody who says it's okay to go out and have 10 wives, to divorce and remarry. Then spake Messiah again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Also see Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Then we move up to verse 31. He who sins is the servant of sin. And in John 8:31. Then Messiah said to the Jews which believed on him. And I can't believe that they believed on him, yet they had such a problem. If you continue in my word. So he says, my word there. So it, obviously the Messiah wrote it. He inspired and gave it to John here and to all the prophets. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that's what faith is the truth and the word. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. I can't believe they were this rebellious. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest then, you shall be made free? But Messiah answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You don't want to do that. You don't want to commit sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And then you could go on and read the rest of that. Scan through there for a second. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
Got it.
That's John 8 then, and we'll move on here in a moment. That's going to feel better to get that fan going. Much, much better. Okay. He who sins is the servant of sin. Then 1 Corinthians 3, 8 kind of goes along with that. If you want to turn there or just write it down that we were reviewing 1 Corinthians 3, 8. Those of you who have been Messianics or Hebraics or whatever religion and read these scriptures, it's nothing new to you. I know that, but it's a reminder. He says, study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly reading and being logical in our mind, having the outline of all these scriptures at any one time in our head, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Corinthians 3, 8 then, and also 13. Thanks for joining us. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So I guess we're going to be rewarded for helping others hear about the word. Verse 9, we are laborers together with Yahweh. You are Yahweh's husbandry. You are Yahweh's building. According to the favor of Yahweh, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay other than that what is laid, which is Yahusha HaMashiach. Yahusha HaMashiach, not J.C. And then skip down, verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So here, yes, I'll concede that he's talking about rewards here, that these rewards can be taken from us. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, but so as by fire. But we're talking about labors here and being an evangelist and taking out the word. We're not talking about, you know, somebody who is either keeping or breaking the seventh commandment. Know you not that you are the temple of Yahweh, and the spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? What happens if you defile his temple? If any man defiles his body, or a temple, or his tabernacle, him shall Yahweh destroy. So if the Baptists were thinking there, and the Presbyterians who believe in eternal security, that verse 15, put it in stone, that once saved, always saved, it's just blown away and popped their balloon, because it says in verse 17, if any man defile the temple, him shall Yahweh destroy. So we don't want to take an abomination into our temple and eat a crab or a pork steak or bacon. Unless it's turkey, and then I wouldn't even do that. Not healthy for you. Too many people getting diseases. For the temple of Yahweh is pure, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yahweh, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, Yahweh knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. And then verse 23, you are Messiahs, and Messiah is Yahweh's. Messiah is the Father's. Nice reading there, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You might leave your comments there about that if you've been enjoying this. So, let's see here. I think we're about ready to wrap up now. It's an hour into the broadcast, approximately. Exhort, Romans 8:13. Exhort one another. Okay, we did good. So, yes, we're just about at the end here. Worked out. Romans 8:13. Oh, by the way, and while I'm turning there, those of you who have tried to email me, I have not been receiving except for two men from Africa recently. Here we're recording in the eighth month of 2011. Two emails came in from Africa, finally. Somebody saying their hut burnt down. I can't confirm that. I don't have a authority there to check that out. But anyway, they wanted some money. As a hut burned down, and then the other man asked when was the J first developed? And I say it was given by the Romans. But there's only two emails, so the rest of you, your emails are not getting through. But you might type it in directly in your own email when you get to Hotmail or whatever you do at StephanYah@yahweh.name, and just put that in or paste that in somehow there, and maybe it'll just go in directly, and hopefully people are not cutting out my email. They're not, selectively dicing up my email and sending it out before I can even read it. I don't know, why would they do that? Well, but supposedly people from all over the world are listening, but I'm only hearing from a couple of people, so I'm concerned about that. And also, I'd like to hear your comments. So I don't know what's going on there, but Romans 8:13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." You don't want to take that to an extreme and mortify the deeds of the body. To some people could be, well, I'm going to cut off my arm then or something, and then they'll bleed to death. And no, it doesn't mean that. You're taking that to an absolutely fallacious conclusion. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh." So we want to mortify the deeds of the flesh, that is, those sins that are enumerated and listed in the Word. And we want to live by the Spirit, not just going out saying, "The Spirit, I think the Spirit is telling me this or that or the other thing." Well, it has to be authenticated by the Word of Yahweh, by the Scriptures. We have to read the Word, and the Spirit confirms that then. And He's not going to say, the Spirit will not say, "Well, I don't confirm that, That's inconsistent. The Spirit doesn't tell one person one thing and the other person the opposite, that you go commit adultery and for you don't commit adultery." Such inconsistencies. Living by the Spirit means to live by Yahweh's Word in the Spirit. Romans 8:15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage," again, "to fear." No, the bondage is sin, the results of sin. "But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh, joint heirs with Messiah. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs with Messiah." Fear him. Seek works as an offering to Yahweh, not to earn credits. Not to earn salvation or to earn credits, but seek to do works because we love Yahweh. And works are the words of Yahweh, the commandments, the mitzvah, the Ten Commandments, the statutes and judgments, feast days, clean and unclean, not observing pagan holidays, and so on. Okay? Keeping Yahweh's word. And the last scripture we want to read then is, I believe, in the book of Hosea. It is 13:14 of Hosea, so we'll turn back. That's somewhere right before Matthew, and Hosea talks about the name of Yahweh. All these small books here, Hosea and Joel, they need to be really studied. Hosea, Joel, Zechariah, Stephaniah, Amos, they're very exciting to read, and it's very applicable as to today what's going on around the world, and equip us to be able to navigate around in our own spirit. What am I saying here? To be able to behave in a way that Yahweh would have us to do. And, while still living in this world, but being our body being in the world, but still being able to survive and overcome sin and being aware of the dangers around us. But here's a final exhortation of the coming here. Harold Camping said that we are going to go in, 5:26? Now he says the 10th month or something or another. I'm sure he's wrong. Pretty sure anyway, but I am sure that I'll be gone in 20 to 30 years because I'll be too old to live after that. Unless I live out the 120 years. Yeah, okay. That's a different thing there. Hosea 13:14 then. And thanks for joining us here on Yahweh Yahweh, the program about salvation, about judgment, righteousness, and what is sin. Talked about the last great day. All must appear before the judgment seat of Messiah. What, you know, we must do Yahweh's deeds by His inwrought working power in our spirit. We should call in no other name. Acts 4:12, we read that. We shall never see death if we stay in Yahweh's word. Say, Yahweh, you're welcome in my bedroom. You're welcome in my kitchen to dictate to me what I will and will not eat. You have dominion in my RV. I don't have one of those, but if I did, He would have dominion in the RV or SUV or some other initial. That we need to repent, and so on. We had a pretty good message. It ran a little bit over an hour, I believe, and should total up about 18 megs there. And Stephan Yaw, thanks for joining us. Hosea 13:14 now, about the resurrection power. We're moving out of the sorrows here soon. Another 20 or 30 years and on to Yahweh. Yahweh promised us, as even He promised Ephraim. And that applies to most of us. We sort of come under the category of the northern tribes, the tribes of Israel. I don't know whether you're into that terminology or not, or Ephraim, but whether or not you are, this applies to you and to me. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Oh, wow, that's good. Yeah, and how is He going to do that? By Messiah who died for us and rose from the grave after 3 nights and 3 days, Matthew 12:40. So once again, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. 1 Corinthians 15:55 as well. So again, we are reading from Hosea 13:14. On this program about salvation, I will ransom thee from the power of the grave. We're going to be resurrected thanks to Yahusha and His offering for us on the tree at Calvary. Thank you, Yahweh, for giving us that blessing today and that promise. Promise of eternal life, living, ruling and reigning with Yahweh in eternity.